Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Thank you, Brewster. As they say, hello, St. Louis and surrounding areas. You are listening to another edition of At Your Service right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Howdy. Hello. Welcome. My name is Dave Simon, certified financial planner by day and the occasional fill-in guest host of At Your Service, like tonight. That's what I'm doing. Hi. Like I said, howdy. I hope you're all enjoying your Tuesday evening. That song, by the way, that classic REO Speedwagon song, Back on the Road Again, is apropos sort of what my life has been like lately. I flew to Florida on Friday. Actually, it was business and pleasure. I was just going to tell you about the business side of it, which is to see some clients down there, which I like to go do every couple of years, and it was perfect timing. But the reason, the first part of that is I have some very, very good friends here from St. Louis whose daughter qualified for the Olympic trials in the marathon. And she's from here in St. Louis. And so we all went down together, the family and friends who have followed her career since high school out in Lafayette High School, and went down and watched the Olympic trials, both men and women. That was just a great thing for those of us runners, runner wannabe, I guess. It was a wonderful event. And then I ended up getting a car and then driving over to the Gulf side and then seeing some clients, and then flying back here to St. Louis yesterday, and I'll be here for a couple of days, and then it's down to Texas for a few days, and then back to St. Louis, and yeah. So sometimes I literally have to just open my eyes and look at the ceiling and get my bearings and then think, okay, now where am I today? And that's just sort of how it's been, back on the road again. But anyway, so good to be with you again. Dave Simon's filling in tonight. A question for you. How are you doing so far in 2024? How's the world treating you? Are you a little bit worried about, I don't know, fill in the blank, just things here in this country and around the world. According to various surveys, I think most of you have a lot on your mind right now, a lot of concerns. I was just looking at a survey done by online research company Investopedia, and this was a question posed to investors, but really it could have been posed to anyone. But in this particular case, it was posed to investors and asking the question, what are you concerned about impacting the performance of your investments in 2024? And it would be the same concerns you'd have when it has nothing to do with investments, just like what worries you about the state of the world. But I wanted to share this with you because I'd be curious to know how many of you would say, yeah, that's my number one concern as well. You could answer, you could give more than one answer. So this adds up to way more than 100%. But only one answer was given more than 50% of the time. Now, a couple of them were real close. I'll give you the top answer here in just a second that came in at 61% of respondents said, this is a top concern that I have. But number two and three, they were actually tied at 48%. So roughly half of the respondents said war in the Middle East, okay, and a recession here in the U.S. I have a feeling if they had asked that question last fall or last year, recession probably was above 48%, but that seems to have lessened here lately. But that's 48%. Right there at 47%, two more answers were given. Again, the question, what are you most concerned about around your investments for the next 12 months? The next two were inflation and U.S. relations with China. At 40%, persistently high interest rates, sort of goes with inflation. And only one other answer was even above 25%, and at 35% was the Ukraine-Russia war. Little surprised that that's even that high at 35%. I mean, this thing's been going on now for a couple of years and has had no impact on the financial markets here in the U.S. anyway, but that being said, number one, the only thing that came above 50%, and it was at 61%, and I bet you a lot of you have already guessed it because you would have answered this and you haven't heard me mention it yet, and that is the elections here in the U.S. The 2024 elections. According to Investopedia, more people are concerned about that event coming this November than anything else impacting their returns and impacting the financial markets. Now, may I please assuage your concerns? May I disabuse you of the notion that elections have any impact on the financial markets and will zero in on the stock market? Some of you may be surprised to hear me say that. All I have is 100 years of history to tell you that. Now, I'm not saying that future policies and legislation that come out of whoever becomes president and who controls Congress may not have an impact or could have an impact on the market. That's not what I'm saying. I am talking specifically about the campaigns themselves leading up to November and the immediate outcome of the elections themselves. It is simply a non-starter on Wall Street. So you can worry about the elections. I'm not trying to downplay that at all. That's a very, very important subject, obviously, that's going to occur this year. But its impact on your 401k? Probably nothing. Let me put it this way. The S&P 500, the main barometer of the U.S. stock market, has finished down during an election year, a presidential election year, only four times since 1928. Four times in nearly a century of data. That's a pretty good sample size. Has the market ever finished down? And not even down a lot. We're not talking about some major bear market. And those down years had nothing to do with the election itself. There are already ongoing economic issues that were occurring. Let me give you those four in order. 1932, Roosevelt, Hoover. Of course, FDR wins that. That is the 1932 is kind of the final year of that first major leg down of the Great Depression from 29 to 32. The S&P finished down that year 8.6. That was actually the best, which is an interesting way to put it, but the best of the 4 years where the market went down. I'm sorry, the 3 years, 30, 31, and 32. A lot of people don't realize this, but the market went up from 33, 34, 35, 36, and into 37. Did you know that? A lot of folks at the time thought the Great Depression was over as the unemployment rate was dropping and the stock market was rebounding, and then we had the second leg down, and that leads to the second time that the market finished down during a presidential election year, and that was in 1940, kind of in the midst of that second leg down as we headed into World War II. That, of course, was FDR. He won again over Wendell Willkie. And the market that year finished down 10.7. Again, that's just kind of a correction. It's nothing major. The other two times are more recent. In 2000, Bush-Gore. Of course, Bush wins that one. The S&P finished down 9%. Now, 2008, a completely different story. The market crashed. This was the Great Recession. That year, the S&P finished down about 37%. Of course, that was Obama-McCain. Now, think about this. Isn't it interesting that the four times really are grouped into two decades? Basically, the 1930s, the Great Depression, and the 2000s, when we had back-to-back bear markets. No coincidence. But election politics didn't cause any of that carnage. It was a combination of, in some cases, investor greed, government mismanagement, economic downturns. So there's a history there that says in an election year, the market really doesn't pay a lot of attention to. We do as Americans. The media certainly does. In this day and age of 24/7, you have to fill the airwaves with something, and it's easy to do during an election year. You know, there are a lot of things that we can be worried about, and I'm going to give you mine. Of everything that I mentioned, plus more, if I had to pick something that I would be worried about, indeed, there's no guarantee the market won't finish down this year. It could be the fifth time. It would be a statistical anomaly from a history standpoint. But if it does happen, and it can, what do I think might cause it? Well, stick with us. We're going to take a commercial break, come back with more at your service. Dave Simon's filling in tonight. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right, my friends, welcome back. It is 8:21 in St. Louis. You are listening to At Your Service live, of course. Dave Simon sitting in live, of course, from the KMOX studios downtown. So I was talking in the first segment about concerns that a lot of you have, and in particular, investors, as you look to 2024 and say, okay, what really bugs me here? What bothers me? What concerns me that could cause a correction or even worse, a bear market? How could the financial markets really suffer? What are the events out there that are kind of in front of us that could derail the market? And I talked about the fact that by far the number one answer were the elections. And that probably should not surprise anyone. That's getting all the attention. And then a distant second and third, war in the Middle East, a recession, and there's some other ones, interest rates and what have you. You go down farther and you have 20% said the Fed reducing its balance sheet. Man, they are interviewing some real policy wonks out there. One out of five of you saying, well, I think the Fed reducing its balance sheet is something that's very concerning to me. This is interesting. 10% said disinflation, which is what the 1930s were. So it's not inflation, it's the opposite. But down below that, just below, was an entry that says, concerned about something else. Now, that's an amalgam, of course, of a lot of other things that just weren't listed here. Can I tell you that the real answer, if indeed we were to have a down year, is probably embedded somewhere in that answer. Concerned about something else. I have learned after a number of decades of managing money and investing, and that goes back to the 80s, that what people are generally concerned about never have any kind of impact on the financial markets. I mean, just look recently. What was the big concern for 23 last year? A recession. The majority of economists and market strategists, and dare I say even investors, I think their biggest concern last year was probably a recession. Did it occur? Nope. If it occurred now, would it materially impact the financial markets? I would say, yeah, it'd bring it down, but it's not going to crash the markets unless you have some kind of deep, great recession like 2008, which it just that's not in the cards. It's almost all, and I'm not talking about just a regular correction, folks. I'm not talking about just a regular pullback. I'm talking about a real deep, major 25, 30, even 40% bear market. It's not going to be the elections. It's not the Middle East war, even if it gets worse. It's not inflation, even if inflation goes back up at that depth of a level. What caused the last major bear market? It was a short one, very short-lived, happened almost to the day now, 4 years ago, started in late February. Yeah, remember it? It was this weird thing, the coronavirus. What? Out of China? What? Yeah, what's going on? It started about now. And then we shut the economy down in March of 20. The S&P 500 fell 35% in 5 weeks. It is the, to this day, the quickest 30% correction ever in the history of the market. It occurred in 5 weeks. We just lived through it 4 years ago. Who called on your bingo card list, on your bingo card of things that are going to derail the S&P this year? It's the beginning of 2020. Who had COVID? I don't know. Nobody. Who had the Black Monday, October 19th, 1987, when the market fell a still record 22% in one day. Who had that on their bingo card? Like nobody? Oh, a few analysts claim that they called it. Yeah, that's suspect. I could go back and give you every specific. Let me even go back to the Great Recession, if I may, that caused the market to fall more than 50% when we look at the entire time frame there. 50% from late 07 into early 09. It was roughly about a 16-month period. Market got cut more than half. A lot of people have revisionist history. Oh, everybody saw it was a housing bubble. I mean, everyone could have seen that coming. Actually, you didn't. You didn't call it. A few people did. Those are the ones that we make movies about. Hello, Big Short, anyone? That's why the book sold so well and the movie did so well, because these guys were almost like seen as nerdy heroes in a way, those who actually bet on the mortgage industry collapsing. And even those guys probably didn't see it going down that much. We are on the precipice of another Great Depression. My point is, if we are to have a major calamity in the stock market in 2024, it's not going to be the elections, even if that guy wins, and it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle, every side says, oh my gosh, if that guy wins, we are in big trouble. Yeah, maybe, but not the day after the election. If that were to occur, it's something down the road. Speaking of financial market stuff, and I'm going to dig into this a little bit more when we come back from the next break, but let me set it up this way. Last Friday, Meta, you know what Meta Platforms is? Of course, that's the new name for Facebook. In one day last Friday, the stock of Meta gained $196 billion with a B dollars in value in one day. Let me put that in perspective for you. There are only 44 companies in the U.S. that are worth their entire market capitalization. Is worth more than $196 billion. And Meta, i.e. Facebook, gained that in value in one day. That is mind-boggling to me. In other words, you can look at it this way. 456 of the 500 companies that make up the S&P 500 are worth less in total value than what Facebook stock, or Meta, made in one day last Friday. What the heck happened last Friday, in case you didn't know? Meta had blowout earnings. And you don't think of Meta or Facebook as being related to AI, but it is. And that's really why they changed their name. Zuckerberg changed the name. They wanted to be part of the metaverse and its connection to AI. And apparently it is working. They're also cutting costs. You know that Zuckerberg has actually been cutting staff. The guy, well, I won't get into my personal feelings other than to say the dude is a genius. I almost hate to give him that compliment because he's not my favorite guy personally. But I give him props and I give him the kudos that he deserves. This dorky, nerdy college kid at Harvard, 20 years ago. And by the way, you know that Facebook just celebrated its 20th year in business as Zuckerberg and some other college kids were involved in starting this thing that was initially called the Facebook. And here we are. So in one day, they report earnings that blew away all estimates. And here's the thing that really shot the stock up. They announced their first ever dividend. Yes, Meta now pays a dividend. That doesn't happen to a lot of these high growth techie related stocks. But you don't get a mega cap company like a Facebook that goes up 20% in one day. It just doesn't happen. The only time you ever see companies that do that are usually lesser known stocks or maybe some major medical breakthrough, some of these biotech companies, they've been working on a drug to cure whatever, and some of the trials come through in a positive light, and boom, the stock gets a big hit. You don't see the big boys. You don't see Apple go up more than 20% in one day, Microsoft, any of these. That's what Facebook or Meta did on Friday. It's incredible. Now, this is how we're going to set this up. It's that kind of news of a major stock, a tech stock, basically, going up 20% in one day, gaining nearly $200 billion in value in one day, that causes a lot of folks who have been around for a while to say, uh-oh, I've seen this movie before, and it didn't end well. And we go back a little bit more than 20 years ago, 25 years ago, actually. Let's address the comparisons and even the contrasting areas between the internet bubble of the late 90s and what is happening today. Stay with us. I could just let this song run for a while. I'm actually reading the autobiography of Geddy Lee, their bass player and, you know, original co-founder of Rush. And boy, it's so enlightening. So if you're into that kind of thing, I would highly recommend it. But back to the task at hand. Are we in a bubble? Stock market related. Technology. So I've been in the business long enough that I've pretty much seen all kinds of cycles, good, bad, in between. And when it comes to, I guess you can say a good cycle, at least for a while, where the market's going up and you're in a major bull market, nothing, and I mean nothing, compares to the late 1990s. The S&P 500 went up more than 20% for 5 years in a row, 95 through 99. That has never happened before or since. And at the end, it was really a parabolic move in the tech companies led by something called the internet. And all you had to do was go to the seed funding mechanisms out there in Silicon Valley and the venture capitalists and say, I've got an idea. And they're like, yeah, tell me about it. And it has to do with the internet, and it's going to have a .com on the name. It sold. You want it? What, 100 million? 200 million? We'll give it to you. And I'm not overstating it. You didn't have to show earnings. You didn't have to be profitable. Just mentioned, you got a startup. It's going to have a .com in it. It's going to be internet. You're selling something. And all the money in the world was floating to you. It was ridiculous on its face. And so it predictably blew up. That's not what is happening today. Not to that level. With that said, there is some silliness that's starting to occur. Now, I had mentioned a few minutes ago about what happened with Facebook or Meta stock on last Friday. I think it was exactly like 20.5% in one day, gaining nearly $200 billion in one day, which, by the way, is the largest one-day increase in terms of pure dollars in the history of the financial markets, in history. Now, did it deserve it? I would say so. And by the way, this is not a buy, sell, hold recommendation. I have to make that very clear. This is just facts. This is just an observation of what happened. And I could argue, yeah, it didn't go up before it as in anticipation of something or some hype. It went up after the data came out. That's not really what was happening towards the end of that bubble that really started to burst in the first quarter of 2000. That's when we found out the emperor has no clothes, and that party could not go on forever. And in fact, back then, even companies that were making a lot of money, like Cisco Systems, which is still around, of course, but Cisco to me was sort of the poster child back then of what was going on. Now, Amazon was a relatively new company, very exciting. They weren't earning anything. Boy, you could have bought that for pennies on the dollar back in 2002. And you'd be, if you weren't retired, you would be retired if you had put all your money into Amazon back in the day and what it's done since then, because obviously it was a survivor of the carnage that would come. So a couple of things and why this is not 99 into 2000. First of all, gains tend to beget gains. What does that mean? In the last 3 months, November, December, January, The S&P 500 gained a little bit more than 15%. That is a huge three-month gain. In fact, dating all the way back to the end of World War II. So we're talking almost 80 years now, believe it or not. Do you know that the market has gained more than 15% over a three-month period, only 22 times in history? This was the 22nd time over nearly 80 years where we just had that kind of explosive growth. And the researchers at Sentiment Trader, and they do as good a job as any, went back and looked at this and said, okay, of the previous 21 times, what did the market do? You know, the market only went down one time. One time over the next 12 months. After the market went up more than 15% in just 3 months, 20 out of 21 times the market was higher 12 months later. Now, there's no guarantee that it's going to do it this time. And we're not even looking at the next month or two. Anything can happen. But gains tend to beget gains. And so you might say, oh, well, Dave, but what about 99? Didn't that do you realize the S&P did not go up more than 15% during a three-month period in 98 or 99? It did in the early part of that. In 95, let me look at it here. In 95 and 96 and 97, isn't that interesting? 3 years in a row, the market had that kind of a pop. More than 15% in 3 months. Three times, 95, 96, 97. Was the bull market over yet? Nope. Still at 98 and 99. Again, no guarantees here. We know that. Anything can happen. But don't just look at this recent pop to say, oh, it's 99 all over again. Well, that's not historically accurate. All right? Let me give you another one. People like to look at valuations and price-to-earnings multiples. Not even close. Not even close. The S&P, back at the very peak in early 2000, the price-to-earnings multiple touched about 45. 45 was the valuation of the market. Today it sits at about 24, 25, which, yes, is historically high. But I always look at forward estimated earnings. And forward estimated earnings, when we take out the so-called Magnificent Seven, which, as you may have heard, is now a six-pack or the Super Six because Tesla has been doing so poorly lately, so now it's just six left over. When you take those out, do you know the forward estimated earnings of the S&P 500 at the beginning of this year was only 15 and a half? So there are a lot of other things, and I won't spend any more time on it, but I think the market's a little frothy here. Don't misread me. And I think I would actually feel more comfortable if we saw a good 10 to 15% shake out of the market. I know a lot of you are shaking an angry fist at your radio or your phone or your laptop right now. How dare I want this market to fall 10 or 15%? Well, you do for the sanctity of the market the rest of the year, for the potential growth the rest of the year. The last thing you need is for this thing to keep going higher and higher and higher and higher, because then you do have the potential of having a bubble rising within the market and the ultimate crash. You do not want, of course, that 40 to 50% pullback. We can avoid it if we occasionally let a little air out of that balloon, right? Now, when we come back, I'm going to play something that's going to hit my podcast tomorrow. So, you're all lucky. Those of you listening to the Mighty Mox right now get a preview, which has not gone public yet. So, I do these weekly podcasts. I tape them, and they are called Quick Hits. Simons Says Quick Hits, and they're some kind of financial or investment-related theme. And it's released every Wednesday morning. You can see it on YouTube. You just go to YouTube and put in Simons Says Podcast if you've not done that before, and they are released, like I said, every Wednesday morning. The one that's going to come out tomorrow, I'm going to play for you when we come back. And it's all about New Year's resolutions and why we fail at them. You might be thinking, what the heck does that have to do with the stock market? Well, you'll see. Stay with us. right, I got to ask for a little grace. My good, loyal, listening friends here. Welcome back, by the way. Dave Simons filling in at your service tonight. And it is exactly 10 minutes until 9 o'clock. And I am on fumes. I messed up. So I had previewed the fact that when we came back from the break, I was going to play you the latest Simon Says podcast, which actually isn't even yet out on podcast. It's going to be released tomorrow, and so you are all going to get to hear the, it's about 10 or 11 minutes or so, as most of them are. And you are going to get to, by the way, I'm not about to tell you, oh, by the way, I can't play it for you yet. No, but you have to come back in the second hour. I have totally lost track of...
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
You know, I could just let this song run for a while. I'm actually reading the autobiography of Geddy Lee, their bass player and, you know, original co-founder of Rush. And boy, it's so enlightening. So if you're into that kind of thing, I would highly recommend it. But back to the task at hand. Are we in a bubble? Stock market related. Technology. So I've been in the business long enough that I've pretty much seen all kinds of cycles. Good, bad, in between. And when it comes to, I guess you can say a good cycle, at least for a while, where the market's going up, and you're in a major bull market, nothing, and I mean nothing, compares to the late 1990s. The S&P 500 went up more than 20% for 5 years in a row, 95 through 99. That has never happened before or since. And at the end, It was really a parabolic move in the tech companies led by something called the internet. And all you had to do was go to the seed funding mechanisms out there in Silicon Valley and the venture capitalists and say, I've got an idea. And they're like, yeah, tell me about it. And it has to do with the internet, and it's going to have a .com on the name of it. Sold! You want it, what, 100 million? 200 million? We'll give it to you. And I'm not overstating it. You didn't have to show earnings. You didn't have to be profitable. Just mentioned, you got a startup. It's going to have a .com in it. It's going to be internet. You're selling something. And all the money in the world was floating to you. It was ridiculous on its face. And so it predictably blew up. That's not what is happening today. Not to that level. With that said, there is some silliness that's starting to occur. Now, I had mentioned a few minutes ago about what happened with Facebook or Meta stock on last Friday. I think it was exactly like 20.5% in one day, gaining nearly $200 billion in one day, which, by the way, is the largest one-day increase in terms of pure dollars in the history of the financial markets, in history. Now, did it deserve it? I would say so. And by the way, this is not a buy, sell, hold recommendation. I have to make that very clear. This is just facts. This is just an observation of what happened. And I could argue, yeah, it didn't go up before it as in anticipation of something or some hype. It went up after the data came out. That's not really what was happening towards the end of that bubble that really started to burst in the first quarter of 2000. That's when we found out the emperor has no clothes and that party could not go on forever. And in fact, back then, even companies that were making a lot of money, like Cisco Systems, which is still around, of course, but Cisco to me was sort of the poster child back then of what was going on. Now, Amazon was a relatively new company, very exciting. They weren't earning anything. Boy, you could have bought that for pennies on the dollar back in 2002. And you'd be, if you weren't retired, you would be retired if you had put all your money into Amazon back in the day and what it's done since then, because obviously it was a survivor of the carnage that would come. So a couple of things and why this is not 99 into 2000. First of all, gains tend to beget gains. What does that mean? In the last 3 months, November, December, January, the S&P 500 gained a little bit more than 15%. That is a huge three-month gain. In fact, dating all the way back to the end of World War II. So we're talking almost 80 years now, believe it or not. Do you know that the market has gained more than 15% over a three-month period only 22 times in history? This was the 22nd time over nearly 80 years where we just had that kind of explosive growth. And the researchers at Sentiment Trader, and they do as good a job as any, went back and looked at this and said, okay, of the previous 21 times, what did the market do? You know, the market only went down one time. One time over the next 12 months, after the market went up more than 15% in just 3 months, 20 out of 21 times the market was higher 12 months later. Now, there's no guarantee that it's going to do it this time. And we're not even looking at the next month or two. Anything can happen. But gains tend to beget gains. And so you might say, oh, well, Dave, but what about 99? Do you realize the S&P did not go up more than 15% during a three-month period in 98 or 99? It did in the early part of that. In 95, let me look at it here. In 95 and 96 and 97, isn't that interesting? 3 years in a row, the market had that kind of a pop. More than 15% in 3 months. Three times, 95, 96, 97. Was the bull market over yet? Nope. Still at 98 and 99. Again, no guarantees here. We know that. Anything can happen. But don't just look at this recent pop to say, oh, it's 99 all over again. Well, that's not historically accurate. All right? Let me give you another one. People like to look at valuations and price-to-earnings multiples. Not even close. Not even close. The S&P, back at the very peak in early 2000, the price-to-earnings multiple touched about 45. 45 was the valuation of the market. Today it sits at about 24, 25, which, yes, is historically high. But I always look at forward estimated earnings. And forward estimated earnings, when we take out the so-called Magnificent Seven, which, as you may have heard, is now a six-pack or the Super Six because Tesla has been doing so poorly lately, so now it's just six left over. When you take those out, do you know the forward estimated earnings of the S&P 500 at the beginning of this year was only 15 and a half? So there are a lot of other things, and I won't spend any more time on it, but I think the market's a little frothy here. Don't misread me. And I think I would actually feel more comfortable if we saw a good 10 to 15% shake out of the market. I know a lot of you are shaking an angry fist at your radio or your phone or your laptop right now. How dare I want this market to fall 10 or 15%? Well, you do for the sanctity of the market the rest of the year, for the potential growth the rest of the year. The last thing you need is for this thing to keep going higher and higher and higher and higher, because then you do have the potential of having a bubble rising within the market and the ultimate crash. You do not want, of course, that 40 to 50% pullback. We can avoid it if we occasionally let a little air out of that balloon, right? Now, when we come back, I'm going to play something that's going to hit my podcast tomorrow. So you're all lucky. Those of you listening to the Mighty Mox right now get a preview, which has not gone public yet. So I do these weekly podcasts. I tape them, and they are called Quick Hits. Simons Says Quick Hits, and they're some kind of financial or investment-related theme. And it's released every Wednesday morning. You can see it on YouTube. You just go to YouTube and put in Simons Says Podcast if you've not done that before, and they are released, like I said, every Wednesday morning. The one that's going to come out tomorrow, I'm going to play for you when we come back. And it's all about New Year's resolutions and why we fail at them. You might be thinking, what the heck does that have to do with the stock market? Well, you'll see. Stay with us. I got to ask for a little grace, my good, loyal listening friends here. Welcome back, by the way. Dave Simons filling in at your service tonight. And it is exactly 10 minutes until 9 o'clock, and I am on fumes. I messed up. So I had previewed the fact that when we came back from the break, I was going to play you the latest Simon Says podcast, which actually isn't even yet out on podcast. It's going to be released tomorrow, and so you are all going to get to hear the, it's about 10 or 11 minutes or so, as most of them are. And you are going to get to, by the way, I'm not about to tell you, oh, by the way, I can't play it for you yet. No, but you have to come back in the second hour. I have totally lost track of where I am in the show and the time constraints that I have. I don't have the time to have played it, and I didn't realize that. Now, here's my excuse. I hate excuses, but you know what? Sorry, you're going to have to give them or hear mine. So I had mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was doing a lot of traveling here, and I'm not done yet. And, you know, that just kind of takes it out of you. Anyway, have you ever done this? Of course you have. Everybody has done this, where you sort of toss and turn, and you've got a lot on your mind. And so I woke up this morning at about, it was like 3:50, a little bit before 4 o'clock. And I started to think about everything that I had to do today, work-related, really. I've got a lot going on right now. All good. Love what I do. And I started to think about, okay, got to do this. How am I going to, I've got this financial plan to put together. Oh, I still have to write the commentary. And all of a sudden in my mind, I'm writing my weekly commentary and I'm putting all this stuff together. And I just, it's like 4:05, and I said, oh, forget it. Just get up and get working. You'll be glad you did. You'll start your day early, and 9 o'clock will come around. You've already been working for 5 hours, and you'll get so much done. And that is so true. I love doing that. And I'm typically an early riser anyway. So I get up, go downstairs. I never have 2 cups of coffee right away, but I did this morning. In fact, I had 4 cups of coffee today, which is double what I normally have during the day. And the last one at 5 o'clock this evening. I hope that doesn't come back to haunt me at some point here shortly. So I get up and I've been working since 4 o'clock. I've had no downtime. I was able to squeeze in an hour workout from 7:30 to 8:30 and then right into the office, work all day, met with a couple of folks, writing commentary. But earlier on this morning, at some point, and this was like maybe 5:30 or 6 in the morning after I'd already been working for a little bit, all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, no. I'm filling in tonight and at your service. I totally forgot. Now, I had already been preparing for it the last day or two, so it's not like I didn't have material already. The reason that I was like kicking myself is, dude, you're not even going to get back home until 10:30 tonight, and you've started your day at 4 in the morning. It really caught up to me by the time I was able to sit down and have a little dinner. I was so tired, and I thought, what did I do to myself? So there's my long-winded excuse why I'm just kind of choosing along here, just doing my show, not watching the clock, not knowing where I am, saying, hey, man, when we come back, Simon Says Podcast. No, you don't have time to do that. So bear with me. We'll come back in the second hour. Not right off the top. I'm actually going to talk a little, are you ready for this? Politics. Dave, you never talk politics. Oh, well, I'm going to this time. Not a personal diatribe of any kind. You get enough of that elsewhere and from other hosts all over the place. I'm not adding to the noise. But there are some things that I think are important to point out here that a lot of folks aren't really talking about when it comes to the election of 24. We've already touched on that a little bit when I talked about the fact that it will not impact your 401k and other investments like you think it may. But I'm going to talk about it in a different light in the second hour. And then I promise we'll get to that podcast, which is all about resolutions and how the breaking of resolutions, the failure to keep your resolutions, coincides with the failures that we make as investors. It's uncanny how they're related. But before we do, I don't know if this is lighthearted, but totally a one-off here. Completely off the tracks of everything that we've been talking about. Have you heard about this? The push by car companies now to get rid of AM radio stations. No more AM available. Have you heard about this? You know, Tesla, Volvo, BMW, already are among the companies that have stopped providing AM tuners in some of their models. And last year, Ford, of all places, good old-fashioned American company, said, yeah, we're going to join them. And until CEO Jim Farley reversed course, because he said he spoke with policy leaders, which is another way to say, I spoke with politicians who aren't happy about it. Because a lot of these lawmakers say that they want to require these companies by law to keep making cars with free AM radio. And they're really listening to a lot of supporters who say, look, AM is a critical piece of the emergency communication network. A lot of automakers say, well, it actually costs us more money than you think to put these things in there. And by the way, Americans have plenty of other ways to receive those alerts and information. Don't be so old school. All right. You baby boomers out there. So this is, boy, you talk about strange bedfellows. You know who is behind this, who's pushing legislation in Congress to make sure that at least U.S. automakers continue to put AM stations in their cars? Get this, in the Senate, it's Ted Cruz, a Republican from Texas, and Ed Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, are both working together in the Senate to craft a bill to require this. It's even stranger in the House. The Republican Speaker himself, conservative Mike Johnson, along with the progressive squad member Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, are working together. Yes, folks, it's possible these people can affect good. And let's hope it happens. As a longtime fan of AM radio who's speaking to you right now on such a device, we want this thing passed. Stay with us. I gotta ask for a little grace, my good, loyal listening friends here. Welcome back, by the way. Dave Simons filling in at your service tonight, and it is exactly 10 minutes until 9 o'clock, and I am on fumes. I messed up. So I had previewed the fact that when we came back from the break, I was going to play you the latest Simon Says podcast, which actually isn't even yet out on podcast. It's going to be released tomorrow, and so you are all going to get to hear the, it's about 10 or 11 minutes or so, as most of them are. And you are going to get to, by the way. I'm not about to tell you, oh, by the way, I can't play it for you yet. No, but you have to come back in the second hour. I have totally lost track of where I am in the show and the time constraints that I have. I don't have the time to have played it, and I didn't realize that. Now, here's my excuse. I hate excuses, but you know what? Sorry, you're going to have to give them or hear mine. So I had mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was doing a lot of traveling here, and I'm not done yet. And, you know, that just kind of takes it out of you. Anyway, have you ever done this? Of course you have. Everybody has done this, where you sort of toss and turn, and you've got a lot on your mind. And so I woke up this morning at about, it was like 3:50, a little bit before 4 o'clock. And I started to think about everything that I had to do today, work-related, really. I've got a lot going on right now. All good. Love what I do. And I started to think about, okay, got to do this. How am I going to, I've got this financial plan to put together. Oh, I still have to write the commentary. And all of a sudden in my mind, I'm writing my weekly commentary and I'm putting all this stuff together. And I just, it's like 4:05 and I said, oh, forget it. Just get up and get working. You'll be glad you did. You'll start your day early and 9 o'clock will come around. You've already been working for 5 hours and you'll get so much done. And that is so true. I love doing that. And I'm typically an early riser anyway. So I get up, go downstairs. I never have two cups of coffee right away, but I did this morning. In fact, I had 4 cups of coffee today, which is double what I normally have during the day. And the last one at 5 o'clock this evening. I hope that doesn't come back to haunt me at some point here shortly. So I get up and I've been working since 4 o'clock. I've had no downtime. I was able to squeeze in an hour workout from 7:30 to 8:30 and then right into the office, work all day, met with a couple of folks, writing commentary. But earlier on this morning, at some point, and this was like maybe 5:30 or 6 in the morning after I'd already been working for a little bit, all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, no. I'm filling in tonight and at your service. I totally forgot. Now, I had already been preparing for it the last day or two, so it's not like I didn't have material already. The reason that I was like kicking myself is, dude, you're not even going to get back home until 10:30 tonight, and you've started your day at 4 in the morning. It really caught up to me by the time I was able to sit down and have a little dinner. I was so tired, and I thought, what did I do to myself? So there's my long-winded excuse why I'm just kind of choosing along here, just doing my show, not watching the clock, not knowing where I am, saying, hey, man, when we come back, a Simon Says podcast. No, you don't have time to do that. So bear with me. We'll come back in the second hour. Not right off the top. I'm actually going to talk a little, are you ready for this? Politics. Dave, you never talk politics. Oh, well, I'm going to this time. Not a personal diatribe of any kind. You get enough of that elsewhere and from other hosts all over the place. I'm not adding to the noise. But there are some things that I think are important to point out here that a lot of folks aren't really talking about when it comes to the election of 24. We've already touched on that a little bit when I talked about the fact that it will not impact your 401k and other investments like you think it may. But I'm going to talk about it in a different light in the second hour. And then I promise we'll get to that podcast, which is all about resolutions and how the breaking of resolutions, the failure to keep your resolutions, coincides with the failures that we make as investors. It's uncanny how they're related. But before we do, I don't know if this is lighthearted, but totally a one-off here. Completely off the tracks of everything that we've been talking about. Have you heard about this? The push by car companies now to get rid of AM radio stations. No more AM available. Have you heard about this? You know, Tesla, Volvo, BMW, already are among the companies that have stopped providing AM tuners in some of their models. And last year, Ford, of all places, good old-fashioned American company, said, yeah, we're going to join them. And until CEO Jim Farley reversed course, because he said he spoke with policy leaders, which is another way to say I spoke with politicians who aren't happy about it. Because a lot of these lawmakers say that they want to require these companies by law to keep making cars with free AM radio. And they're really listening to a lot of supporters who say, look, AM is a critical piece of the emergency communication network. A lot of automakers say, well, it actually costs us more money than you think to put these things in there. And by the way, Americans have plenty of other ways to receive those alerts and information. Don't be so old school. All right. You baby boomers out there. So this is, but you talk about strange bedfellows. You know who is behind this, who's pushing legislation in Congress to make sure that at least U.S. automakers continue to put AM stations in their cars? Get this. In the Senate, it's Ted Cruz, a Republican from Texas, and Ed Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, are both working together in the Senate to craft a bill to require this. It's even stranger in the House. The Republican Speaker himself, conservative Mike Johnson, along with the progressive squad member, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, are working together. Yes, folks, it's possible these people can affect good. And let's hope it happens. As a longtime fan of AM radio who's speaking to you right now on such a device, we want this thing passed. Stay with us.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.